Chris Sheridan with us, editor-in-chief, SheridanHoops.com. He joined us a number of times during the lockout to look at it from the Phoenix perspective. Hey, Chris, it's Brad. How are you?
Good, Brad. How are you today?
Good, good. Fire away here on a number of NBA topics. So you broke the story about Dwight Howard adding the Clippers as a possible landing spot. Tell me about that.
Well, it's a wish list, and his agent already has permission to talk to the Nets and to the Mavericks and to the Lakers about a trade, but all those trade talks kind of went dormant when the season started, and Orlando decided, you know what, let's try to keep this guy as long as we can and see if we can't get him to change his mind. And that's an ongoing process with the Magic. The problem is Dwight runs kind of hot and cold. Sometimes he wants to leave, sometimes he wants to stay. It depends who's been in his ear the most lately. As far as the Clippers go, the only plausible scenario where he would end up as a Clipper is if he opted out of his contract at the end of the season and then did a sign-and-trade that sent him to the Clippers. But they're really number four on his wish list. I would rank them as New Jersey, Dallas, and then Lakers, and then Clippers. And the thing that's complicated at all, Brad, is that Orlando wants to keep the guy. Mm-hmm. And Orlando's got an 85-year-old owner, Rich DeVos, who wants to win a championship in his lifetime. And Rich DeVos may say, you know what, I don't care if I'm going to lose the guy at the end of the year and get nothing back. I'm still going to keep him and try to win a championship this year. They're off to a very good start. They're 9-3. They pretty much have a fighting chance against any team in the East. You have to give that to them. And they have that because they have Dwight Howard. He's the best center in the NBA. So that's sort of the lay of the land, and it'll be interesting to see how the dynamic changes between now and March 15th when the trade deadline comes. Because if the Magic lost Shaq and got nothing back in 1996, and they have long memories in that franchise, and they don't ever want something like that to befall them again. But that being said, again, the owner is 85, and the owner wants a championship. And I still think if Rich DeVos feels that he has the best chance to win a championship this year with Dwight Howard, even if he loses him for nothing, then he's going to keep him, and then they'll sort things out in the summer. And that's where a sign-and-trade to the Clippers or a sign-and-trade to the Lakers could come into play.
Chris Sheridan, editor-in-chief, SheridanHoops.com. We've had Chris on several times. Does a great job. SheridanHoops.com. If you're, a hoopaholic, an NBA junkie, even college basketball, SheridanHoops.com, a place to go check out. Why New Jersey number one on the list?
Well, he wants to be in a big market, and the Nets are in a big market now, Newark, but they're moving to a monster market, Brooklyn, next year. And if they had a core that included Deron Williams and himself, that's a pretty good foundation, those two building blocks right there. Now, also, if he opts out of his contract and he goes to New Jersey as a free agent, then you're talking about a team that still has Brook Lopez and still has Anthony Morrow, and now you got you got a shooter, and you got three nice pieces. Brook can move over and play power forward, and then Dwight can be in a monster market and be part of a brand new thing with the Nets, pretty much rebuilding their franchise from scratch by moving to a totally different market, Brooklyn. I know Brooklyn and New Jersey are right next door to each other practically, but they couldn't be any further apart.
Dallas putting a package together. Lakers, I would think Andrew Bynum would have to be part of it. Sign and trade Clippers, it'd have to part with either Chris Paul or Blake Griffin. I mean, the star power...
I disagree on the Clipper part.
Do you?
If the Clippers were to do a sign and trade, I think it would be something like DeAndre Jordan and Mo Williams and a pick or two. But the Clippers aren't giving up Blake Griffin, and the Clippers aren't giving up Chris Paul. And the only way they'll do that deal is if the Magic will take those other pieces. But if the Magic come asking for Chris Paul or Blake Griffin in a trade, the Clippers are just going to say no way.
Okay, Lakers end of things. Bynum would have to go, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and Dallas's end, what would that package entail?
Well, here's the interesting thing with Dallas, is that Dallas is going to have a boatload of cap room next summer, about $20 million. And if they find a way to move Sean Marion during this season, Sean's on the books for $9 million next year. If they could trade him for expiring contracts, then they're $30 million under the cap for next summer, and they can go out and get both Deron Williams and Dwight Howard. And that's Mark Cuban's sort of master plan. And, you know, we've seen teams go that far under the cap and get exactly what they were looking for because the Miami Heat did it. And that's probably the Nets' number one rival for signing Dwight Howard is going to be Dallas. And it might come down to a wooing war between the Mavericks and the Nets. But as one of my sources told me yesterday, those two guys are going to end up playing together in one of those two places. Whether it's Dallas or whether it's New Jersey. And then the other team is going to be left with a lot of cap room and not a lot of talent.
Chris Sheridan, editor-in-chief of SheridanHoops.com. Okay, so you talk about master plan for Mark Cuban. What is the master plan of the Phoenix Suns from your view, your perspective? I've taken the stance that the Steve Nash, Grant Hill, the longer that you try to keep people coming in to watch them play, and if that's your bottom line, is your bottom line, that you're not going to get anywhere, and you're constantly going to be a 9th, 10th, 11th draft pick. They're never going to get really good. You've got to get really bad to be very good, in my opinion. What's your view of Nash and Phoenix?
Well, that, you know, Steve's off the books at the end of this year. I think his contract's about $11.5 million, and I think he'll go find greener pastures elsewhere. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he came and played for the Knicks. And signed for the mid-level section. You know, he has an apartment in Soho, and he get to play the pick-and-roll with Amari again, which he was pretty successful doing. And, you know, Grant did a one-year deal and because the Suns liked him, and they thought, you know, he would put him in contention for competing for that eighth spot. But, you know, that's a long way of answering the question. There's no easy way to rebuild. There just isn't. And at a certain point, you got to say goodbye to your old guys and blow it up and start over. But, you know, the Suns only have $30 million on their cap next year with all the guys they have coming off. And so they're gonna be players in free agency over the summer, and that's where you do your rebuilding. And one place they don't have to rebuild is in the middle. And that's, you know, it's very hard to get NBA centers. And the Suns have two of them, two quality ones. Martin Gortat is having an outstanding year. That was a heist getting him from the Magic, and Robin Lopez is a pretty good player, so they've got two centers, so they've got the hard part taken care of. It's a matter of who's going to be out there on the free agent market next summer that's going to fill the voids that they're going to have, and I think that void will start with point guard, because I don't think Steve Nash is long for Phoenix.
And the point guard situation this coming summer, free agent-wise, what do you look at as high-end? How many impact free agent point guards are there?
You know, I'd have to go and look at the list, because I'm just not sure, but I do know that you know, Deron Williams is certainly going to be at the head of the list, because right, he's already told the Nets he's going to opt out. But again, Deron wants to play with another superstar, and Deron's going to end up with Dwight Howard one way or another. It's a better than 50-50 chance in my book that's going to happen. So I don't know. You know, Aaron Brooks will be a free agent. You want to have Aaron Brooks back?
Oh,
you
want to have gosh. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing on this.
I'd have to look at the list of next summer's free agents and see who's opting out and who's not before I could give you a good answer on that question.
And here's the thing on it, Chris, and that is, if you trade Nash before the deadline and Grant before the deadline and you just get very bad, we saw Kyrie Irving come in here last week and just tear the Suns apart. And I feel as though that what I've seen out of this organization, they've just tried to do things to keep the bottom line going and to keep some fans coming in, that they're almost afraid to push the eject button on this season and just go be a little bit better than the Washington Wizards, but not much.
That's really harsh.
Yeah, well, and that's where we are at this point. And go look at the up-and-coming point guards, because fans seem to resonate with either the established point guard or the up-and-comer. In Steve Nash's case, they love him out here. He's going to go in the Ring of Honor someday. And I think fans are actually at a point where, Steve, you've done a great job here. Please go win a title or at least attempt to elsewhere.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. And I think Steve wants to do that as well. You know, he had his two MVPs, and I agree he's going to go on the ring. He deserves it. But again, like I said, there's no easy way to rebuild, and at a certain point, you just have to take out the dynamite. And in the case of the Suns, it's going to be a quiet explosion, because they're just going to have guys coming off their cap. So, again, it's, you know, it's been nice having him there for all that time, and the Suns had a nice run with Steve, but it's time for him to move on and to move to a team where he can really contend for a title. I expect him to do that next year, and then it's up to Lon Babbitt to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with the $30 million in cap space that I have? Who am I going to bring in, and am I going to make another Josh Childress signing, or am I going to do a little better than that and bring in some players that have real value for the kind of money that he's going to be shelling out?
Before I let you go, Jerry Colangelo lives out here. Team USA has announced yesterday Amari Stoudemire, fans familiar with him, wasn't happy being left off. What was your view of the initial list that came out yesterday?
Well, I was out in Vegas 2 years ago when the Knicks pulled Amari Stoudemire off the roster. It was on the eve of training camp, and Amari was with the team at the Wynn Hotel, and the Knicks called and said, you know what, his contract's not insured, he can't play. And so Amari shouldn't be surprised at all that he's not on the list, because the USA Basketball doesn't want to get burned by the Knicks, you know, twice. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
Right.
You know, exactly. So you know, that's the story with Stoudemire. As far as the rest of the roster goes, this is a team that's going to be draw valid comparisons with the original Dream Team. You got LeBron, you got Dwayne, and you got Bosh. These guys have been in the Team USA program since the 2004 Olympics. Very, very rare for a basketball player to appear in three Olympics, but those guys are all going to do it. And look, they're gonna roll over everybody, absolutely everybody, and then they're gonna face Spain in the gold medal game. And Spain's not a bad team. Spain is probably gonna be a 15-point underdog, but Spain's got talent in the two Gasol brothers. They've got Serge Ibaka from the Oklahoma City Thunder. He has a Spanish passport. He's the only guy on Spain's team that speaks French. And then they've got Juan Carlos Navarro, who is, you know, real hardcore fans will remember. He spent a year with the Grizzlies. He didn't do much, but he's one of these players who really thrives in Europe and under the FIBA system. He's a pure scorer. He's too slow to defend NBA two guards, but he can score the ball with the best of them. He's the best player in Europe. And I covered the European Olympic qualifier in Lithuania in September, and Navarro was just a killer in the last three games. He went 26, 28, and 27 points. And he's the best player on their team. And then don't forget, Ricky Rubio is going to be playing with him. And he's going to come off a year of NBA experience that's going to do a world of wonder for his confidence, because he was a shell of himself in Lithuania in September, so bad that he only played 7 minutes in the gold medal game against France. So I think, you look at that team and you say, well, okay, that's a team that can probably stay within 10, 12 points of Team USA. And then the trick becomes, can they play him as tightly as they did in the 2008 gold medal game, where with 7 minutes left, you know, that was still a 2-point ball game. And FIBA ball is different. It's only 40 minutes.
Right.
And it's a matter of if Spain could somehow get the U.S. to play from behind. The U.S. hasn't played from behind in an international tournament since the World Championships in Japan in 2006. And when they fell behind against Greece in that semifinal game, they panicked. And a 10-point deficit became a 20-point deficit in a finger snap. So I think that's Spain's only hope, is to somehow get a second-half lead against the U.S. and then hope that panic sets in. But certainly this is going to be a Team USA that's going to be a huge, huge favorite to win the gold medal, and rightfully so. And once they do, which I expect them to, then we can compare them to the original Dream Team from Barcelona and see how they stack up and have that debate.
That'll be fun to talk about. Hey, Chris, appreciate the visit as always. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on again.
You got it. Chris Sheridan, editor-in-chief, SheridanHoops.com. And that is a hoopaholic right there.